Hello, everybody. It's me, Roscoe, and welcome to another instalment of the Kings of Anglia Fan Social, the show where the Cowboy Army share their thoughts on all things town. And we're live once again on all platforms. Thanks for joining us. And I'm joined by two fine gentlemen, Liam from Crewe and Matty Macon, to discuss some breaking news and also look ahead to an historic game at Portman Road as Town Women play their first ever league game at the stadium. And hope you join us on this lovely Friday evening. And let's bring the boys in. We're also joined by some great people already. We've got a man all the way from New Zealand, Chris McTaggart. Thanks for joining us, my friend. But Liam from Crewe, bring you in, my friend. And people behind the curtain, Liam's actually someone who's come in last minute. So thank you very much for joining us, my mate. How are you?
I think this might be my debut in the live era. I think this is the first one I've done live. Beforehand, obviously, we used to record it, so I'll make sure I am professional.
Well, you've got a man who's in the host chair who tries to be professional, but behind the scenes, a bit of a shambles, and sometimes on air, I'm a bit of a shambles. That intro was a bit, not my best, I have to say. But Matt Macon, my friends, how are you? Always a pleasure. I think this is your second Fan Social Live, I think.
It is, yeah. Yeah, I did that live one with young George a few weeks ago. So, yeah, no, very happy to be back on. Really, really buzzing for the women playing at Portman Road tomorrow. Really can't wait for it and looking forward to talking about it too.
Yes, my friend. And Roscoe doing the night shift tonight. Although, Elliot, if you didn't know, this is now going to be a regular thing. Live shows on a Friday night and nearly time for a beer. I haven't got a beer on me, but I'm sure the boys may be having themselves a drink. And if you are listening and having a beer, enjoy. Sit back and relax and we'll be here chatting all things town. We've also got Steve all the way from Cyprus, which is what a place to be. I'm sure it's warm in Cyprus. I know it's March, but I'm sure it's getting a bit warmer there. It's not too bad shabby here. Today was a nice sunny day. Boys, breaking news a few hours before we jumped on the podcast. And of course, it's very good news. Town have got some new investment, which is great to see. Of course, every club want to see some new investment. And obviously, the town took over a few years back from the Americans. The Americans took over, the game changer. And obviously, since they've come in, we've gone up, haven't we? Kieran McKenna came in. Mark Ashton came in. We've gone to the Championship. We're now competing against some of the Premier League teams in the top tier of the Championship in terms of the top six. And, new investment have come in. A US private equity firm have taken a 40% stake into the club for a figure of $105 million. Not too shabby. We'll get into nuts and bolts a bit more in a second, ladies and gentlemen. But I want to get Liam and Matt's overall thoughts on this. Liam, it got chucked at us at 5 o'clock this evening or this afternoon. It is evening, isn't it? Your overall thoughts?
Another best kept secret. Something that the club seem to be doing very well at the moment, keeping things quite quiet and then surprising us. And all these surprises are very nice. And this one just shows you how successful the club has become. It's only, 8 months out of League One in the first season in the Championship. But the fact that we are competing so high up there for back-to-back promotions, which, again, I don't think any of us sitting here would have expected. The amount of times, because of the way we play, and everyone said it on game day, about the entertainment factor at Portman Road, we're always on Sky, and we're getting a much wider audience, and a lot of people, I think, are investing a lot more time. And, of course, this is going to help add extra big wigs to the structure to add more finance. And it's only going to help the club in the long run with what they've said they're going to do with it. A lot of it, it's only going to help with those major infrastructure projects that the club have got forward.
Yeah, definitely. Matt, the firm is Bright Path Sports Partners, a landmark day in the club's history. When you saw this news, what was your first reaction?
Yeah, similar to Liam, on the face of it, it's good news. There's no sort of change of overall control, game changer, keeping that 50% stake. But it gives a big boost of capital and some strategic experience with the new people coming into the board. I did sit and watch the interview that James Pearce did with Ed Schwartz and Mark Ashton that came out sort of as a companion to the press release. And I mean, it's quite a dry topic when you're talking about finding investors and board structures and whatnot. But again, on the face of it, assuming that the club have done sort of due diligence, there's always a risk with private equity firms. We've seen that with other clubs in England. But I think there's ambitions there in terms of using this investment to redevelop Playford Road. There were some sort of early drawings of what that could look like. There was obviously direct mention of being able to invest more into the women's team, which again doesn't count towards the profit and sustainability rule. So that's good as well. And obviously the big talking point from Mark Ashton there was that firm commitment about chasing Category 1 academy status. It's something we went for when that system first came in years and years ago. We missed out. We've been Category 2 ever since. And Mark Ashton's been very cautious sort of in the last 3 years since Game Changer took over the club about, well, we'll do it when the time is right. You know, no firm commitment, but there was really a firm commitment about, right, we're gonna chase that, which is a good thing. Help us to retain local talent. We've had a lot of sort of encroachment in the area over the years under the sort of Marcus Evans era of that lot up the rivers and West Ham and other clubs, sort of London clubs, sort of getting even Colchester getting sort of stuck in our patch. So if we can offer a Category 1 academy, same as Norwich are, that's a good thing. And if this investment helps, great. So yeah, just very happy. It's hard to, you always think it's going to be something dodgy about this, isn't there? Because we had so many years of stuff looking like it was going to be good and it's not. And even sort of 3 years on and things have generally been pretty good, it's still difficult to trust. But hopefully this is now sort of going to move us on to the next step in terms of developing the club off the pitch.
Yeah, and we've got a question here. It's a bit of a statement here, but also another question. Brilliant news on the investment. Can only take the club forward. This is from Andy Crackers Cracknell. Always good to see you, my friend. You always join us on live shows. Frustrating that some fans are thinking the Game Changer are cashing in when they're taking no money from the club at all, which is a fair point. This is just new investment. This isn't them, you know, Game Changer has still got there, or the three lines have still got their original stake. It's just more investment, which is great, isn't it, Liam? Like, more investments coming into the club. You know, no one's taken money out and going, yeah, I'm done now. I've got my, you know, investment in there. Or, you know, I've got my major profit. No, everyone's still fully in.
Well, I doubt that Game Changer have made a profit. You think about the amount of money that they've plunged into the club to get the club to this stage. I can't imagine that they're anywhere near making a profit to the amount of money that they've invested. And we all know that the big money is the Premier League. So, and that's where obviously they want to be. That is when Game Changer will start potentially making any returns on this overall grand plan that they've got of owning Ipswich Town. So them cashing in, is that they're not stupid. They're not giving away the football club right on probably its best period in decades and a chance to be in the Premier League next season, where they will get all that massive amount of TV revenue, which would just be a massive, massive game changer to them. But while Dick, we're still a Championship club, yeah, it wasn't improvised or anything like that. Just freewheeling. I think, though, the thing is, you look at, you look at a high-profile club like Man United, for instance, and look what's happening there in terms of Ineos going in there and adding extra investment to the football club to actually build the infrastructure. because at the end of the day, the Glazer family didn't have enough money to actually sort out the issues with the training ground and Old Trafford. And I think it's something similar to this in the fact that Ipswich have got grand plans. Playford Road, obviously. I think a lot of people saw the IBC drawings about the regeneration of the whole Portman Road area, which obviously included, quite interestingly, what looks like a new cobbled stand. Now, obviously, Mark Ashton has spoken about that, and that's something that's probably going to be long, long term. But they're going to need money to do all this, and having people be interested to invest money in the club is only going to help them to make these big projects a success, which ultimately will make Ipswich Town a much more elite standing club, so that hopefully when the Premier League happens, whether it be next season or a little bit longer, they're going to be going up with excellent facilities and be able to hopefully hold their own as a Premier League club.
Yeah, and obviously, Matt, this doesn't mean we're going to spend millions and 30 millions on players getting Hamari Hutchinson in. A lot of this investment is going to be going into the club to grow it behind the scenes and all that sort of stuff. A quick little structure of the ownership as it is. So within Game Changers 20, so ORG 50%, Bright Path 40%, and then you've got Free Lions / Marcus Evans with 10% of them together. But yeah, it's interesting this as a whole, and yeah, I know a lot of fans that, you know, it's when you hear this and you read all this, it, you know, on in the website and everything, you're like, it's a little get confusing. But where are you at with it all?
Yeah, I think Mark Ashton was very clear. We've still got to play within profit and sustainability rules, and there's been some stark examples up the pyramid recently with Everton and Forest, and now Leicester as well, that's come out today. You can't just go chucking money at it, because you've got to keep to that limit over the rolling 3-year period, and that you will get points deductions if you don't. And I think Mark Ashton has been incredibly clear about that. He won't let the club fall foul of sort of breaking those rules. There are things we can spend it on, like you say, that don't fall into those rules, in terms of building up the club infrastructure. And let's be honest here, Game Changer did not come in. It's not some altruistic love story. I know they've all fallen in love with the club, you know, but they are here to make a return on it. And that ultimate return, as Liam says, it's going to be getting us up into the Premier League and being able to sell us for more than they bought us for. Ultimately, that's what they're going to do. But to do that, they need to not only get us into the promised land of the Premier League, they need to make it a sellable asset. And it's going to be having high quality training grounds, a high quality stadium, reinvesting and the club playing its part in that overall development of Portman Road. You know, the cobbled stand isn't fit for purpose anymore. Anyone who's sat in there recently knows that. I went in there for the Burnley Cup game last season, and I was a lot smaller last time I went in there. I was probably about 14, and yeah, I was like, I'm sure this was bigger, but actually no, I was just smaller. That does need to be replaced sooner rather than later, and we need the investment for things like that.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, because obviously the stadium, even, you know, only a couple of years ago, it was like, obviously they've done so much stuff outside with the, you know, the great imagery and other bits and bobs, which is great. Of course, we've got the big screen now and everything. But yeah, it's been all rosy, Liam, but obviously still a lot of work to do. This new, you know, firm coming in, US-based private equity firm, 40% stake of the club. That's for them, that's a lot of stake, but they must be up for it.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, the way that they've been talking, that they're talking about bringing this expertise to the club, then they're obviously a very reputable firm, investment group. So, and obviously, the guys working behind the scenes obviously know a lot more than we do about them, are pretty confident in the fact that they're giving us a lot of money here to do some really, really good things for the football club to build those foundations and make the club stronger. But at the same time, I'm sure that they're going to get something out of Ipswich being part of it. And what a time to be part of it. That's the thing. I think it doesn't come as a surprise that we've got a lot of people who are interested potentially in being a part of this journey. And obviously the American ownership have obviously got connections over there as well. So it's no surprise that it's another American firm that are involved. And it can only get better. That's the thing. It can only get better with where we are at the moment. If we get more and more interest, it's only going one way at the moment. So it's a win-win for everyone. And hopefully it will help Ipswich become the club that they want to become. And I've always said, I think Ipswich could easily become a Brighton type club that have done fantastically well in the Premier League. So this is just one step towards that.
Yeah, obviously we've proven that we can sell out Portman Road with the amount of tickets that are getting sold, season tickets, and every home game is pretty a sellout, pretty much. Of course, we've got the, you know, make sure we've got a set of health and safety and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, Matt, any other notes from this? It's just brilliant news and another historic day at the club.
Yeah, I think the important thing to note is that the people who've been calling the shots for the last 3 years and generally been getting it right have still got the deciding vote after this investment goes in. So although you're going to see those new faces on the board and that 40% control, it's the day-to-day and the strategic is going to stay the same. I think that's important to know. That kind of provides a little bit of reassurance, I think. And I will say one thing. I've been mentioned about redeveloping stands. I will say I'm not in any too rush to do it because Liam won't remember this, thankfully. But every time we've redeveloped a stand, it's not gone well afterwards, has it? You know, I remember the Churchman's being redeveloped in the early 2000s. It went wrong. And there's people older than me who remember further back the West Stand being redeveloped. You know, and then not all that long after Bobby Robson's gone, we dropped out in the first division. So I'm thinking a little bit suspicious.
Sometimes don't rush those sort of things.
Superstitious, that's the word I'm looking for. The superstitious side of me is going, yeah, but remember what happened last time we rebuilt the stand.
Yes, I hope they plan it and they won't rush things and stuff like that. And obviously, this is, you know, still a work in progress, Liam. I know we're now, you know, third in the championship, and we're now going, could we do this? But yeah, we shall see what happens. And one thing I was going to add quickly, but I've now lost what I was going to say, so we're going to move on. But yeah, any other notes from you, Liam? And we've got 107 people in watching us right now. So hello, everyone. Get involved in comments. Share your thoughts on this news. Anything that you want to talk about, let us know. But yeah, Liam, final notes from you.
No, really. Just I think it's a good day for the club. Just reading a comment about this foreign investment not always being a good thing, about fans will end up paying for it. But that's unfortunately going to be the price of success. If Town do go to the Premier League, then there'll be even more interest. You'll find that prices may go up. And obviously, the further Ipswich goes, then including potentially European competition, if that ever happens, then obviously that does happen. You do get more people involved, putting more money in. And yeah, it might not be great for the fans in the future, but that's just the price of success, unfortunately, and all clubs have got that. And hopefully, as Matt has said, because the controlling stake is being held by Game Changer, and there's going to be no structural changes to the running of the club. Mark Ashton's still going to be firmly in control of it. Then hopefully, as long as they all stay on board for as long as they can, they're going to make sure, I'm sure, that they remember the journey that they've been on, because they've asked us to back them and we have. So if things start happening like that, as we get more successful, I hope that they'll remember who supported them in the first place, and hopefully they might resist some of these price increases. But overall, it's good for the short, in this medium, short, medium term of getting the training ground up to scratch.
Yeah, and it's looking, it's improved even, you know, the last year or so. It's like just improved so well, and which is good to see. And another thing, Matt, actually, I just love the communication, because we, you know, under the old ownership, won't mention his name again, but we didn't have much communication. But now, every time there's something new, we get an interview. We've heard from all the new guys as well, which is good to see.
Yeah, we are, under the previous owner, we had either no communication or very condescending communication, sort of talking to us like idiots, and that's not been the case in the last 3 years, and that goes down to Kieran McKenna as well. I think night and day between sort of how he would explain how he puts things out compared to Paul Cook. I'd think just one thing I want to point out, and Liam knows this because I did put a screenshot of it in the WhatsApp group earlier, is that you made a little appearance in that video today, Ross, didn't you? You and our good friend Matty Worrell, a little clip of you guys having a chat with Mark Steed. That was nice to know, you know, getting yourself out there, getting yourself in official Town TV productions. I hope you're getting ready to sign the autographs tomorrow, mate.
Well, I don't know if you've seen, obviously when McKenna comes out and does a handshake with the other manager, I'm normally then walking across there. I don't mean to. It just happens all the time. And it's just, there's a lot, the last one against Sheffield Wednesday, I just sort of just casually strolling, just looking. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Gemma said she's going to keep an eye out for that tomorrow in case you do it again.
Yeah, we'll see. Which I'll see.
You made the ITV highlights, didn't you?
Me?
Yeah. When you walked in front of Kieran McKenna for that Sheffield Wednesday game, because that was where the ITV highlights were actually
starting,
basing themselves. And you're walking along the front as they're kind of taking a picture of the two dugouts settling in, ready for the start of the game.
Yeah, pretty much. I just keep doing it.
It beats me and you and Paul being behind Alex Scott and co. That game in January, we don't talk about, Liam.
Yeah, let's not talk about that. Definitely not. But good old Mark Steele. I've actually still got his sunglasses that he left at Needham Market in that pre-season. I've still got them in my spare room. So if you are watching, Mark, I still have them. And if you want them, I'll make sure to bring them next time you're at a game. Good news all round, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll cover it more and more. And there's lots of stuff online. Go and check out. There's a great interview with a lot of people, with Mark Ashton, Egg Swartz, and all that sort of stuff. So check that out on Town TV. But we'll move on now and talk about something else that's been sort of announced recently. The supporters group have announced the voting for the Player of the Year award is out there. And in previous years, it was always a struggle, wasn't it, boys? Always a struggle to who would vote. Last season was a bit different, which was a nice season where there was a few different candidates. Who won it? Was it Wes Burns? Wes Burns won it. Did he? Or was it Conor Chapman? No, Conor Chapman would have won it.
Season before last, he won it. Wes got it. Wes and then Conor Chapman. Last season, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, of course it was Conor Chapman with his goals, and then Wes, obviously, first season. So last two seasons, technically. I know we didn't finish too great.
Well, the last two seasons, you've had kind of like two runners, because it was Wes and Danasian that first season, and then it was between Chappers and Sammy Morsey last season. So sort of kind of had a two-horse race both times, which has been quite nice.
Yeah, it's been good. But what I've done is I've asked the boys to give me their top three, who's their top three, and then I want them to then let me know the winner out of those top three. So, Liam, take it away. There's a lot of contenders. Obviously, there's still eight games left to go, but obviously they need to get the votes ready for, you know, for the night when they announce the winner and stuff like that. But let me know your three players. And of course, there's obvious players, but I don't know if you've got any random ones, you know, we shall see. But also get involved, ladies and gentlemen, let us know your top three and also your winner.
I found it hard to think of a third, because I think they've all been brilliant this season. And it's really hard. And I think they've all been a bit of a muchness. I think they've all contributed as a really good team. But for me, there's two standouts, and they are the two that I would probably be... It's really 50-50 between the two of them, but one is Leif Davis and the other is Sam Morsy. And I think, obviously, it's very difficult not to have Leif Davis anywhere near the top because he's got so many assists this season. I think, isn't he the highest assist out of any league in England this season? He was at the top of some charts that I've seen. I don't know if he is, but he has created a lot. He's obviously, I think he's only scored once or twice, but he's been fantastic. And as we keep saying, he is a Premier League player in waiting. And unfortunately, it would be a tough one to keep him, I think, if Town don't go up. So, and that's how good he has been. I've even heard some people muttering about potentially him maybe sneaking into the England squad. But I doubt that would ever have happened because Southgate probably doesn't even know who Leif Davis is. He's fully focused on the Premier League. But, I mean, he's been absolutely fantastic. And he will be looked at by a lot of people in the summer. So hopefully we go up and we can keep him. So he has to be right up there. And then Sam Morsy, what can you say? I think he just shows how important he is to the entire club, not just the team, but to the club. Everything he does is absolutely fantastic. And you can see when he hasn't played the difference in the team. And we were all a bit nervy over Christmas. New Year time, when he got that two-match suspension, we're a bit nervy that it could derail us a little bit. But he just makes the team so much better. There's no one in that midfield that can pick up a ball and then do one of these really, really tight turns on a 50 pence piece and just drive the team up the field. It is literally willpower from him. And yeah, he has been, I would say, the most influential player in the team. So it's then whether you go for Morsy and how important he is to the team and how much he drives the team on, or Leif Davis with the amount of goal opportunities he's created. So it's really difficult. I'd probably give it to Morsy myself, just because obviously he was in the running last season. He's a consistent, and this season we've all had to make the step up at a much higher level. And to be honest, he's been elite this season. So for me, I would give it to our captain, fantastic.
Yeah, good shout. Matt, what's your three contenders and also your winner, my friend?
Excuse me, terrible time to start coughing. Yeah, I'm going to be really boring because two of my three are the same as Liam's, really. I found it really quite hard to narrow it down to three. The three I narrowed it down to, obviously, Sammy Morsy and Leif Davis. And then I've also put Amari Hutchinson in there because I just thought he's been excellent this season. And I will hold my hands up. I was not overly sold on him to begin with. Certainly sort of bits in pre-season, a couple of, it was the RB Leipzig game in the Innsbruck Cup, where it's when he really should have just buried and put away, but he probably took an extra sort of five or six touches and effectively sort of played himself into a box. And I was like, what does he offer over Carl Edwards? But, the irony. But he's just come on fantastically, and he's flourished under Kieran McKenna's coaching. And sort of recent performances in particular, he's just in an upward trajectory. And if, for those of you with an Athletic subscription, there's a really good article on there about him coming here and sort of his background of leaving Arsenal for Chelsea and coming here and what his future might hold. And he's done really well for a sort of a first proper season of senior football. But it's a struggle to look past, as Liam says, struggle to look past Leif Davis and Sammy Morsy. They've both been so consistent and integral to the success we've had so far this season. Leif Davis is just up and down that left hand side like a yo-yo. His assist, his goal contributions is phenomenal. I think somebody put in the chat, and I think Ritter's overtaken him now, but still, even that aside, it's still just amazing. And he popped up with a couple of goals, notably, I think he did get that one against Bristol in the end because it was on target. I don't think it was given as an own goal in the end. But Sammy Morsy, it is Sammy Morsy for me, because he is just the absolute heartbeat of our side. Everything goes through him. He's a real leader on the pitch. He raises standards across the team. We've noticed when he's been out, when he's been suspended or he's been injured, there is that drop off in the middle of the park. And that, again, the sort of player that we expected when Paul Cook brought him in, to compared to the sort of player that Kieran McKenna's turned into, in the way he will drop deep and pick up the ball from the back four. He can shoot, he can just do everything. And it's just, it goes missing sometimes for people, because he's just at least a seven every game. Even if we're having a bad game, he's still putting in a good shift. I can't look past him. I thought he should have got it last year. I know goals win awards, you know, as well as they win games, and that's why Chaplin got it last season. But for me, he was player of the season last season, and he's just stepped. I know he's got championship. He had championship experience before, but he's stepped up fantastically. So again, I'm going to be boring and agree with Liam. It's the skipper for me.
Yeah, I'm boring as well. Sam Morty's my pick because he's just my favourite player to watch. And he is the man. He just leads by example. Obviously, he's scored some important goals as well. Obviously, you know, against Watford away, that was a great moment, wasn't it? When he scored and then just celebrated right in front of the away end, which was a great moment and a big... big 3 points on the road. But I'm trying to think. I want to actually look back at the previous winners before, obviously, the rubbish seasons. But yeah, I'm sure there's been some, you know, good winners in the past. I'm trying to see how many captains have won it. I'm sure Matty Holland must have won it, you know, during his time at the club. I know Fabian Wilnes has won
it. Matty Holland, be still my beating heart.
Yes, thank you much. But yeah, it's... it's a big thing, obviously, Liam, that, you know, it's that for a while, you know, it was hard to pick any player, you know, obviously during those bad first League One seasons, it was a struggle. I think who won it? So it was James Wilson won it in the sort of the behind closed door season. And obviously he went on to then leave and go to Plymouth. And then Luke Chambers obviously won it during the relegation season, which was great. Obviously Bart won it 3 years in a row. Because he was the man, just keep making unbelievable saves because he was just the best team.
The sign of the malaise at the club at that point. If your goal, and don't get me wrong, I loved Bart, it was great. But if your goalkeeper's winning player of the season 3 years in a row, there is something fundamentally not quite right.
Daryl Murphy won it, obviously, the year we got into the playoffs with those 27 goals. Christoph Berra the year before, Tommy Smith, Aaron Cresswell. So a left back has won it back in 2012. Jimmy Bollard won it in 2011. Gareth McCauley in 2010. Richard Wright won it in 2009, so another goalie. Jonathan Walters in 2008. But yeah, Matty Holland has won it twice, actually. So that's two as a captain. Obviously, John Walk won it a lot. Derry Butcher won it. Kevin Beattie was the first two winners of that. He won it back-to-back years. Mick Mills won it in the 78 season, so obviously the FA Cup season. So captains have won it before. But yeah, it's... be interesting to see who is going to win it, but I have a feeling it probably will be Sam Morsy. It will probably be Sam Morsy. But another actually add-on question here, and we've got this from Kevin Bailey, and it's going to link with loan players. Hutchinson doing so well will keep us to get strong loans in the future. And that is a big thing, isn't it, Liam, actually? Other clubs, like Chelsea, obviously, they'll be pretty happy what's happened with Omari. I'm sure other clubs in the Premier League will be thinking, you know what, Ipswich Town could be a good place to go. And that's what I always... hope when we get a loan player, they do okay, and then that is future loan players to come, hopefully in a few seasons. So, of course, we want to grow our own players, but to get like Premier League stars like Omari is always good.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Town have been loaning players quite a lot, even in the old regime. But the difference there is that they were there to increase the quality at the club for that short period. There was always no chance that you'd be able to keep those players. And there was quite a few of them. That's the big issue. Whereas Town at the moment are in such a strong position because they've got such a brilliant, tight-knit squad. And it's quite big too. And they're able to only add a few extra loans that just give it a little bit of this extra little bit of stardust that they want, rather than going the other way, too far the other way like they used to, and bringing in a lot of loans over the top of what they've already got, because they just can't afford to buy really good players permanently. So Amari has been brilliant. And the big thing with him is, and it's been said about his future, the only way he's back at Ipswich is if Ipswich are a Premier League club next season. So obviously we want to keep Amari, and I think there's probably, and this kind of answers the question, there's probably quite a lot of trust that Chelsea have in Ipswich with what Amari has been able to do this season, remembering that this is his first season in adult football. So this is something completely new that Chelsea have thrown him out of youth football and have basically gone, right, we're going to put you straight in the second tier and let's see if you sink or swim. And he's absolutely swum massively and has got so many different strokes now, using a swimming analogy, that obviously people talked about him moving potentially next season, being sent out on loan to either another Prem club or even European. So that shows you how great a learning curve he's had at Ipswich. And it all stems, I think, a lot from McKenna and the environment that he provides, obviously having a massive background in youth coaching. And that can only be good for Ipswich going forward, whether Amari stays or not, that he has been the blueprint that tells other clubs that Ipswich is a team that you can trust with your younger players to develop them and obviously help us out at the same time with such a brilliant coach. And so if Amari does end up not coming back next season, which would be really sad, then I'm sure we will get a few other gems, whatever league we're in, whether it be the Championship or the Prem, we will get a few other rough diamonds that McKenna's got a chance to polish and continue this really good recommendation that the club have because of what they've done. So hopefully, we do keep Amari, but otherwise I'm not too upset, because I'm sure we'll find another Amari Hutchison next season.
Yeah, hopefully. Matt, I'm going to put you on the spot here. I'm sorry to say. It should be an easy question, hopefully.
Not like you.
No. I always do that. I'm sorry. But I want to ask you, in terms of your... since you've been watching Town, who would you say Amari's up there as one of the best loan players ever? There's been a few candidates. There's been a few who were loan players and turned permanent. Obviously, Jim McGilton is probably up there in terms of he was a loan player. But yeah, any contenders from you?
Yeah, Jim's the first one that always springs to mind. I'm a child of the 90s. Martin Reusser as well. That started out as a loan, became permanent. But certainly, in terms of technical ability, he's one of the best players I've seen come here on loan in a long, long time. Liam made a good point. We've relied on the loan market for a long time in recent years as a club. But then there's using the loan market because your owner is refusing to put any pennies in the transfer budget, which is what Mick was having to do under Mark Zevens, compared to we are now using the loan market well. I was on the Naked Footy show on Wednesday. Graham asked me the same question about do you keep Amari? And my obviously, this is before the announcement and the investment came in. My view was sort of similar to Liam in that I think it maybe you see him come back on loan if we go up, with an outside chance that the McKenna factor brings him back here for another season in the Championship. If he doesn't, I think with the investment now, and that probably that hopefully keeps Kieran McKenna here in terms of investment coming forward. I think there's a good chance he is back here on loan, even if we don't go up, because Chelsea are going to look at the development he's doing under Kieran McKenna. And it's similar in the same way we've lent El Mazzouni back to Orient because we knew he was doing so well there. There's a case to say, is it going to stymie his development if you sort of up sticks and stick him under another coach in another system again? Whereas if Chelsea know that McKenna is going to be here for another season, and say, okay, right, they went close last season, they might go again, and he's going to get more regular football under Kieran McKenna at Ipswich, they might send him back. But I think he's definitely back here in the Prem. But he's just been, whatever happens, if he's not coming back next season, it's just been a joy to watch, hasn't he? It's absolutely fantastic. It's one of those things you'll be able to say in future years, I can remember, whether he comes back or not, I can remember watching Amari Hutchinson playing in the famous Ipswich blue and white.
Yeah, we shall see what happens. But yeah, we've had so many different loan players where, once again, it's the phrase, isn't it? Never fall in love with a loan player. And obviously, we, you know, even under, you know, Mick McCarthy, had, you know, Tom Lawrence and Ryan Fraser, and they were just class above, weren't they? And then obviously they went on and obviously played in the Premier League. You know, Tom Lawrence is, you know, now at Rangers. Of course, Ryan Fraser's actually on loan at Southampton. So yeah, obviously it'll be interesting to see if he plays us on that Easter Monday. But so yeah, boys, time to have a nice little breather, and it's time for the strike. So Liam and Matt to go head to head. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, get involved in the comments, get your answers in. Andrew Nichols, I'll send you a fiver over to you. Roscoe is a ledge. Thanks, Andrew. I'll send you that fiver in the post. Or when I see you, I'll give it to you and all that stuff. Like to see it. But yeah, oh yeah, Chris as well. Amari Hutchinson, great celebrations. although I know it does the backflip. I was like, oh, I was a bit like, oh, hopefully it doesn't go wrong, because it has happened before where someone's done it wrong.
You Kieran think, McKenna must be having kittens every time he watches him do that.
Yeah,
because like, I know I am.
Yeah, because like, it's great, Amari, but what if it, you know, you fall wrong and you know, because it happened once. I think Loire was it for Portsmouth. I think he did that. I think Harry Redknapp was not happy with him, and then obviously I think he did that and he had to come off. Because he injured himself, so...
Yeah, obviously he did it for the first time Southampton away, didn't he? And I remember thinking at the time, actually, like, McKenna, I'll have a word with him. We won't see that again, and I was wrong there. He's definitely just going to carry on anyway.
Yeah. And Kevin Bailey's actually made a good point here. Never, not as risky as...
No, that is very true. That is very true.
It was crazy. Like, that must have hurt. That must have hurt him a few times, yeah. But he just probably got used to it, and he probably practiced it in training just to see he lands right. But yeah, that was the flying fear, and that was the most random celebration. That's another feature for another day, like Town's best sort of celebrations and stuff. Because we've had a few in the past from different players, and obviously Amari's the latest one in terms of the backflip and stuff like that. But yeah, we've got five questions plus a tiebreaker as always, boys. Links up to obviously March birthdays and also. And on this day as well, we've got a nice little on this day. First question is on Ian Marshall, the man who celebrates his birthday this week. Yeah, I think he turned 56 recently. I think it was 56 on the 20th. Let me just double check that, ladies and gentlemen. I want to make sure I'm right. Yep, on the 58th, on the 20th of March, the Liverpool striker, obviously. Didn't play for Liverpool, but obviously he's from Liverpool. Obviously played with us in the 90s. But what is his middle name, boys? That is the big question we all want to know. What is Ian Marshall's middle name? The man with the mullet. Was that Andrew, Paul or Scott? So Ian, Andrew, Marshall. Ian, Paul Marshall or Ian, Scott Marshall. Ian Marshall. I think before your time, obviously, Liam, but did you see him, Matt? Maybe too young, potentially, or
no? Just about.
Yeah.
Very, very early formative years.
That's good. Yeah, because he had a great start. I think he scored like 5 goals in a row in the Premier League when he signed. Scored in his debut against Oldham, and then he went and scored another 4 goals after that. So, pretty good goal scoring run. But yeah, Ian Sick Note Marshall. That's what Kevin.
Yeah, I've just seen that.
Yeah, I think there's a period I think he was injured a lot, but yeah, but we've got a few answers in it. Oh no, you guys can see this. Ooh, hopefully these aren't all right.
I've got full screen on, so I can't see the chat. So
okay, Lee, you may have to go full screen, so you're not, just in case. I do trust you, but just in case. So for the future reference, big screen, and then but yeah, we've got a few.
I just flicked it over to private chat, so okay. I can't see. Chat.
Very good. There you go. Good. But yeah, got a few answers here. Paul, Andrew. What's your answer, boys?
Oh, you can't see that.
I went Paul solely for the fact that it's my dad's name.
Okay. And then Andrew there. Now, if funny enough, peep behind the curtain, ladies and gentlemen, when we were about to go live, I was sort of doing the strike very last minute and we were like chatting about things. And obviously I randomly said Paul. And we also got a friend called Paul. All of us have got a friend called Paul. And obviously that is the answer. But when I said that, I thought, damn it, I may have given away a potential answer on the strike. But Liam's brought his dad into it as well, so it's fine. But
it shows how much I was paying attention then, because I literally didn't think. I've just thought about it. I remember it now, but I didn't even think about it.
Very, very annoyed with myself.
Yeah, so future reference, if I say stuff at random and then it's linked to, you know, it could be linked to the strike. So, yeah, watch that. Question two is on Cole Skuse, who celebrates his birthday this month. Of course, doing very well at Bury Town, isn't he, boys? Doing really well. I think they're on a good unbeaten run. I think it's like 15, 16 games, something crazy.
They're in the playoffs, aren't they?
I think so. They must be. Yeah, it must be with the run they're going on, which is good. But yeah, we've got a few correct answers from that original question, which is good to see. But yeah, question two is on Cole Skuse. He scored twice during his time at Town, but how many goals did he score in his career in 660 games? Obviously, wasn't known for being a goal-scoring midfielder, especially at Town, with those two goals. Although they're two screamers. Obviously, the first against Cardiff, which took him a long time to score. And then I think it was Bolton, his second goal. But as a whole, obviously for Bristol City and Colchester United, I'm obviously retired last summer to then become Bury Town manager. But yeah, how many goals, Cole Skuse? 660. That's not bad going, Cole Skuse. 660 games. He didn't really miss many games, I don't think. Of course, played a lot of games for Bristol City, played a lot of games for us. Obviously, at Colchester, he was at the end of his career. How old will Cole Skuse be? He will be 38 next week. So, yeah. But what do you reckon, boys? This is what the chat are thinking. 11, 7, 15, 11. All right, then. Liam, Matt, what do you reckon?
I went 12.
I went 11.
What did you cross off, though, Matt?
I changed my mind before I put it up, though.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah, because I was thinking he played for more clubs than he did, and then I realised he didn't. So.
Okay. That's fine. Because like I said before, if anybody, scrub out your original answer, that can always bite you in the bum. So, somehow, I don't know how he's done this, but he's got a spot on someone in this room, and that is Liam from Crew. It is 12 goals in his career, in all competitions, obviously. Let's quickly round it up quickly. So, Bristol City scored 9 goals. All in the league, no cup games, obviously 2 for us to make it 11. And then, yeah, 1 goal for Colchester in League 2, his last season at the club. So Liam does get double the points. So it's 3-0, Matt, going into the third question. And it's on Alan Judge, who recently joined the new club, joined Woking today in the National League. They're pretty much mid-table, but he's going there. Of course, come back from a really bad injury. I think he did something like ACL and loads of just a bad, bad injury, ladies and gentlemen. Really bad when he was at Colchester. He's been out since December 2022. Recently come back for the Colchester under-21s. But yeah, has signed for Woking. Now, Alan Judge wore 2 squad numbers during his time at Town. But what squad number did he first have? Was it 25, 31 or 35? So when the League One season, he was 18. He wore the shirt number 18. But when he first signed, 25, 31, or 35. Good old Alan Judge. Andrew Nicholls, shocking return. Yeah, it was a shocking return in terms of Kolsky's numbers because, 600 and how many games was that? 660 games, 12 goals. But as we said, he's not a goal scoring midfielder. He was more just that holding player, pass it on, and let the other players score and take all the glory. But yeah, I've got a few answers coming in. 25, 20, a lot of people have gone 25. But what do you reckon, boys?
Yeah, 25.
I went 31.
Liam's correct. It is actually 31. Yeah. So 4-0 Liam from Crewe. And everyone else, Andrew Nicholls, Kevin, Andy, Lee, Charlie, they're all wrong as well. So, Matt, you weren't alone, my friend. You weren't alone. What's your thinking there, Liam? 31, what did you just...
I thought that when he first signed, he was going to be potentially quite a large number. And then when I saw 25, 31 or 35, I went just for the middle. But I thought that 31, I thought he was going to be a 30 number to begin with. So I went 31 over 35 and luckily I'm right.
Yes, you are right, my friend. So, yeah, it's good though. I have to say, Matt, it's going to be a struggle now, but let's get some.
It's going to be impossible, isn't it?
Yeah, there's no. Although we've got a tiebreaker, so you never know. Yeah. Let's get to question four. And Liam may struggle this because I don't know if he'll know this player, but the Spanishman Cito, Cito, I think how you said the Spanishman, scored his only goal for Town on this day. In a 2-1 win over Scunthorpe United, but who set him up for his goal? Was it Owen Garvin, Velisha Shimunikoski, or Alan Quinn? So a 2-1 win. Funny enough, in this game, Pablo Cornago scored and got sent off. And also, Scunthorpe player got sent off as well. So a lot happened in this game. And Cito also opened the scoring. Actually scored the winner in this game in that 2-1 win away at Scunthorpe. Because, where are Scunthorpe now? They're really struggling now. I think they're like
they dropped down into the National League, didn't they?
National League North.
Yeah,
that's it. They've even dropped down.
They're second, though, in that division. So they're looking, they won't win the league because Tamworth are top of the league, but they're second. And so the playoffs are probably destined for them. But Castro Cito was his full name, the Spanishman. Was a foray character. But he scored his one and only goal for Town on this day back in 2007, boys. 2007, eh? What were you doing in 2007?
I was in Australia.
Love that. I was 11. I was 11 years old. Yeah. Sorry. Oh, that's your 10. I was 10.
Don't tell me that, Ross.
Sorry.
I was in my early 20s and running a pub in Western Australia, bar manager in Western Australia.
I was 18 that year.
Were you just starting uni or just...
Second half of the year, I would have... No, 2008, I started uni.
Okay.
As I was on the other side of the world, it's a big old guess, and I've just gone for Alan Quinn.
Okay.
I went Quinn as well.
Of course, you went for an Irishman. There is an Irishman in this, and that Irishman is incorrect. Alan Quinn one is Owen Garvin. Owen Garvin set him up for the goal, and that was actually an absolute cracker. Andrew Nicholls said, I was at that game. So fair play to you, my friend. A few other questions. Kevin Bailey said, I was an old fart in 2007 already. So fair play, Kevin. Fair play to you, my friend. So no points on the board there. So still 4-0 going into question five. And I don't think we've mentioned his name, but we have mentioned Idris Elmazouni, who's currently on loan at Leyton Orient. And Richie Wellens, obviously a former Town loanee, is the manager there. And he was on loan at Town from which club in 2012? Was it Blackpool, Leicester, or Man United? So, trick question, maybe. He did play for all these three clubs during his career. But Richard Williams Relic Wedding's doing a pretty good job there. They're potentially getting close to getting into the playoffs themselves. So, you know, win the league title last year in League Two to potentially, get into the playoffs in League One, which will be a good achievement, especially. And Idris doing well once again with them in League One. Be interesting to see what happens with him in the summer. And obviously, there was interest in January for, I think there was a few clubs looking to buy him, but I think Town rejected those deals. But got a few answers going in the chat. But what do you reckon, boys? Blackpool, Leicester, or Man United? He played 7 games in total, so not many games. But of course, part of that, we were talking about loans earlier, weren't we, boys? This was a period where we had loads of loans. We had probably in the whole squad, there was like 4 or 5, something like crazy. Obviously, they stopped doing that now in terms of like short-term loans, haven't they? Because I think back then you could just loan a player for a month and then they go back. But now you need to, obviously, it's the windows and stuff like that. But what do you reckon, boys?
I've gone Leicester.
Blackpool.
Ooh, Blackpool. And get the klaxon out. Matt Macon is on the board. It is Leicester.
So come on!
The loan from Leicester. Back in
2012. I just had a feeling he came from a club that also wore blue. That, I don't know why that was in my head.
Yeah. Why not? Sometimes always.
And I know it definitely wasn't Man United. I remember if we had a Man United loanee at that period.
Yeah, he started his career at Man United. Then he went to Blackpool. And then he went to Oldham. Then he went to Doncaster. Then he went to Leicester. And then came on us on loan. And then actually then joined Doncaster permanently after that loan spell. And yeah, as I said, he's currently... He's had a long career in management already. He's at Oldham, Swindon, Salford, Doncaster Rovers briefly, and then obviously he's now at Leighton Orient. So there we go. Andrew Nicholls, my first ever strike. Enjoyed it. Off to bed now as work is alarm set for 4:30. Andrew, salute you, my friend. Have a good shift. Have a good night's sleep. And thanks for joining us. So, Liam, you've won, my friend. But as always, are you going to gamble?
After such a great win, why would I want to gamble?
True, 4-1.
But I'm not going to be the first man ever on this to not gamble. So I will gamble.
Okay, I like it. Now, this question's a bit rogue because he wasn't great at Town, but he's had a decent career overall. He celebrates his birthday this month, and that is Sylvain Ebanks-Blake. Who obviously Mick McCarthy reunited with him at Town. Obviously had a good time at Wolves with Mick. During his career, he played 390 games, 10 of those for Town, but no goals. But how many goals in total did he score for Town? Oh, no, in his career, not for Town, obviously.
I know that one.
Zero. Zero. I don't even need to write it.
You're both one. But yeah, how many goals? 390 games to Sylvain Ebanks-Blake, who has retired. I think he retired a few years back. I'll quickly name his clubs. So Manchester United, Royal Antwerp in Belgium, because obviously they had that connection, didn't they? Sending a team for Belgium. Plymouth, Wolves, Preston, Chesterfield, Shrewsbury on loan, Telford, Halswell Town, Barwell and Walsall Wood. Was his last club back in 2019. So a few rogue ones there. I have counted them as goals as well because he technically did score for those clubs. One of those clubs were in the Southern League, Premier Central. One of them was in the Midlands League, Premier Division. Obviously, he has scored in League One, the Championship and the Premier League and also the Belgian Second Division, which Royal Antwerp were in back then. But Liam, Matt, you have to get that bang on to win. How many goals do you reckon he scored? In 300,
and I've gone 32.
32. Okay. Before we get to you, Liam, I'm just going to see what other people are saying. Kevin's gone 28. Charlie's gone 34. Steve's gone 45. Lee's gone 36. Andy Crackers Cracknell, 101. So he's back in the striker to score over 100 goals. What are you going for, my friend?
I'm glad someone said, because I went 102.
Ooh.
So. Ooh. And then I was thinking, with all these low ones, I was thinking, oh, God, have I really, really overestimated how good he was? So I might have anyway, but I'm glad someone else thought he might have scored over 100 goals. Yeah. That makes me feel slightly better.
Now, for one club, he did score 64 goals, and that was at Wolves. So that takes you out straight away, Matt, I have to say. He actually scored one goal for Man United once upon a time in the League Cup. He actually scored one goal for Man United in the League Cup. That was his only ever appearance for them. That was in a, let me quickly find, that was against Barnet. Against Barnet in the League Cup. Little stat there. Obviously, never scored for us. Scored a few goals for Plymouth. Scored 12 goals for Chesterfield. And the correct answer is 114 goals. So, Liam, you're closest. Didn't get a bang on, but you are the closest. Andy, good effort from you. So a few low numbers there. Matt, what's your finger behind that? Do you just feel like because he had these injuries and obviously wasn't great for us?
Yeah, I just didn't think he was that prolific a scorer, really. He's not a player I hugely knew a lot about other than that he'd had a bit of a lovely old time with Mick at Wolves. And I remember there was a lot of talk before he came in. Oh, get Sylvain Ebanks Blanky, you know, he played well for Mick. And then he came here and then he wasn't very good.
No, he wasn't really fit, I don't think. But yeah, Liam from Crewe, you have won a strike. How does that feel?
Absolutely fantastic. I'm going to celebrate tonight, boys. Celebrate tonight.
Enjoy.
I'll have to buy you a beer tomorrow, mate.
There we go. Yeah, that's my prize.
That's your prize. There we go. Thanks, Matt. Thanks for doing that. But yeah, the budget is not there for that. So yeah, you're happy to do that. Happy days. So Liam from Crewe has won the strike. And now we're going to segue onto this weekend because there's a big game at Portland Road. It's international break, which is boring. You know, England, yeah, great. They're playing Brazil. You know, it's good to see Wales progress to the final. Obviously, it's good to see Broadhead and Kiefer Moore play. Of course, Sarmiento did well for Ecuador and stuff like that. But Ipswich Town women's team are playing at Portman Road tomorrow. If you're watching this Saturday, then it's today, 3 p.m. First ever league game. It's an historic day. It's going to be a great day. They're playing Chatham Town, who are struggling. Town have obviously not had the season they wanted, but it's going to be one of those days where it's a legacy building moment. I'll go over to you, Matt, first of all. You're the man who I see at games down at Felixstowe. Of course, they've been great hosts, but it's good to see the Town women's team play on that pitch at Portland Road for the first time in a league game.
Yeah, obviously I'm secretary of the Women's Supporters Club, and it's something we've been looking forward to for a long time, that we'd get a game. A league game at Portman Road. Obviously played there in the County Cup in 2019, beat Needham 8-0, I think it was. I think, Liam, you probably there. I think you had some family involved with that one as well, didn't you?
Yeah, so, my sister was playing for Needham that day. So
Natasha Thomas is the only player in the current squad that was there in 2019. But this is huge. Getting a league game at Portman Road, like you say, the AGL Arena in Felixstowe, it's a fine home for us. And it's not going to be a case of we're now going to be moving every single game to Portman Road, but to be able to get the team to play there, it just shows how far we've come. I mean, I've been following the club probably since about then, 2018, 2019, or following the team, I should say, and coming down to AGL. And anyone who's watched some of the interviews that Joe Sheehan, the Town women's manager, has done, he's saying his first game, five odd years ago, you know, there was 32 people there. And Ross, you've been there sort of from the ground up and seen sort of two blokes and a dog coming to a lot of games. And now we're regularly sort of getting over 500 fans at the AGL Arena. And at last count, there's over 9,000 tickets sold for tomorrow, which is absolutely fantastic. We've already beaten what Norwich sold when their lot played at Carrow Road last year, and that is the real quiz, as we all know. But joking aside, it's opening up a whole new sort of set of fans for the women's team. If that translates to seeing more numbers, people coming down to Felixstowe, it's not always the easiest place to get to on Sunday, I know, but it is only 25 minutes down the road, and the AGL is only a short walk from the station. So hopefully, people will be able to see that. How good the women's team are, playing a very similar style to the men's team. Joe has talked a lot about sort of the influence that Kieran McKenna has had since he came in. Very good style. Unfortunately, not a lot for us to play for the rest of this season. It's a very tight division with very little room for error, given how small the division is. And I think really sort of that loss to Portsmouth last time out in the league is sort of knocked the nail on the head. There's only one team that goes up But Chatham, I say, are in real trouble. I think they need a result this weekend just to get a stay of execution. I think they're destined for relegation this season. They haven't won a game all season. We beat them 6-1 away last time we played them. So hopefully it'll be a second weekend on the trot with a lot of goals.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping. You know, obviously the players are gonna just can't wait to play on that carpet. They watch the men's team play, and they you know, obviously at Felixstowe, you know, the pitch is better than it has been in the last few years, but I'm sure they can't wait to play the Sheehan ball on that carpet.
Felixstowe won't, you know, have done a great job with assistance from the club and trying to improve the pitch at the AGL. But there is, and listening to Maria Boswell, town captain, in the pre-match saying that you still get a bobble, you still get a bit of uneven surface on there, and it's not quite. And I think actually, yeah, this the pitch, now that the pitch has been sorted, and that was always sort of kind of like the deal maker for getting a game there. We should see some really nice football, hopefully.
Yeah, definitely. We've got 202 people watching, boys, by the way, which is fantastic to see. Thanks everyone for joining us. 203 now. And if are you going to the game, Legend? Are you going to the game? If you're not, tickets are still available. On the day, you can rock up and go, which is good to see. As actually, this is from Steve Catchpole. Could be 10 plus with walk-ins. Many more than men's matches under Mick McCarthy. Be careful what you wish for. But yeah, Liam, it's going to be a great atmosphere. Good to see them out in numbers. As Matt said, you were there back in 2019 when Town take on Needham. Obviously, your sister played in that game. I think Needham actually had more fans in Town because, you know, at the time, you know, it was very much still a transitional period and not as connected to the club. But this will be a very different day to that one. But yeah, this will be a day to remember.
Yeah, I do remember that. Certainly outsung Town fans that day. But that was our cup final. And obviously we got battered 8-0, so we were never going to win it. It was more about the day out, very first season of Needham, and I've been involved with Needham pretty much ever since after that game. So I've got a connection with women's football through that, and my sister now has left Needham, but I've continued and still do the social media with a few other people each Sunday. So that's why I'm not at the AGL. But it's just everything around women's football at the moment. It's just a fantastic place to be. I mean, obviously, you look at the Lionesses have basically started all this with obviously the Euro win, nearly won the World Cup. I mean, I was at Wembley for the final against Germany, which was a fantastic day. And this is the first time that Ipswich can say they are playing a home game at Portman Road that hasn't got anything to do with the Suffolk FA. This is Ipswich Town playing as Ipswich Town in a league game at Portman Road. And it's just going to be a celebration of women's football in the area. Basically, I mean, obviously, we're going to have a lot of Town fans turn up tomorrow, which is absolutely fantastic. But we're also, and I know, obviously, with my connections with Needham, I know quite a lot of our team, because we don't play until Sunday, are going to watch it tomorrow. I'm sure a lot of other local clubs who obviously would be playing on Sunday may take the opportunity to come down and watch. And obviously, local schools as well. Potentially, there'll be quite a lot of young children be brought along for this. And it's just fantastic. It is just absolutely fantastic to have it in a big stadium. When you look at all of what's happening in the top parts of women's football at the moment, you look at the WSL, a lot of them now are playing more and more regularly at the men's grounds. Arsenal are selling out 60,000 each week when they play at the Emirates, and they're playing European games there, as well as Chelsea at Stamford Bridge quite a bit. So to get this in the third tier and to get nearly 10,000, hopefully maybe break 10,000 tomorrow, which would be fantastic for a third tier game. I mean, that's really unreal numbers. I think the only club that has gone any further than that is obviously Newcastle United at St. James's Park. But third tier of women's football do not see these numbers. And it'll just be a fantastic day for everyone connected to the women's team, but to the football club as a whole, because it's got to be a celebration of where the women's team have got to and what future the women's team have got going forward.
Yeah, it's going to leave a legacy, this game. And actually, Chris here has said, I'll have to watch on Town TV. Yeah, obviously, if you can't get to the game for any reason, I think there's actually one Lee. He said he lives in Oldham. So, yeah, fair play to you. Probably, yeah, best to watch it at home. It's a long way to go. But, yeah, it will be available on Town TV. So if you want to watch a game, you can watch it, which is good to see. But, yeah, Matt, do you want to let us know any more info. Fan zones can be open. Also, any players we should look out for. Obviously, we've got other podcasts with Maria Boswell, the captain, and also Natasha Thomas on the feed. But yeah, take away, my friend.
Yeah, so the club have been really good, and this is being treated full on as a Saturday 3 p.m. match day experience, no different from a men's game. So the fan zone is going to be open from 12:30. We're going to be there as the women's supporters club. We're linking up with the other supporters club, so we'll be also taking votes for the women's player of the year in the fan zone. The Planet Blue is going to be open as it normally is on a match day as well. Yeah, players to watch out for. I mean, obviously, I've already mentioned Natasha Thomas, all-time record scorer for Ipswich Town women. She's close to 150 appearances as well. I think she's not too far off 200 goals. She's top scorer this season as well. Obviously, you've got Sophie Peskett as well. She's having an absolutely electric season. This is her first full season back following a lot of time out with ACL. She only came back partway through last season, but she's kind of hit the ground running where she's left off. There's a reason Joe calls her Star Girl, because she's just brings an excellent bit of quality. You've got Summer Hughes. I think I heard her described recently as very much being sort of the women's team version of Leif Davis in terms of her work rate and as a fullback and getting up and down the pitch. Obviously, we've got Maria Boswell, captain in centre of defence. Laura Hartley's joined the club this season in goal. Poppy Soper have been playing in goal for us on loan from Charlton. Unfortunately, she's been recalled for the end of Charlton season because they're a bit thin on the ground with injuries. Laura's stepped up really well. Another keeper, a bit like Vaz, is she's very good at playing the ball out with her feet. There's just obviously Bonnie Horwood as well, a lot of experience. Bonnie, she's played at championship level, Reading. I think she spent a bit of time. She spent a bit of time at Chelsea, I think, as well. Yeah, possibly in the early days. London Bees, when London Bees were sort of up and up there. She's real sort of good spine, cool, ice cool penalty taker. It's hard. He's always up a different spot. I hate to have missed somebody out, but obviously, hopefully, we'll see. Eloise King, who is born and bred Town fan. Fortunately, she hasn't played so far this season. She's struggled with injury, but Joe did say she's back training. So you never know. Hopefully, what a narrative that would be if she can make her first appearance this season at Portman Road. I know her parents are both involved with the supporters club as well, and I know they'll be absolutely made up if she's there. But I think whatever happens, she'll be out on the pitch somewhere, even if it's at full time. She very much she does the fist pump duties for Ipswich Town women. So yeah, but you can tell because I'm rambling and gushing here, but I am so looking forward to tomorrow to see this team play at Portman Road. It's well deserved. Like Liam said, that the women's football is on the up at the moment. Started, obviously, it sort of really exploded with that Euros win in 2022, but it was slowly building from that. I mean, I've been following the Lionesses since the 2015 World Cup, and it's kind of just been, for me, I've just seen that slow burn started, and there was that explosion in the Euros. But likewise, we've seen that Lionesses success translate to more and more people coming to the AGL week on week to watch the women's Ipswich women's team play, and this is the culmination, and hopefully this will be the first of quite a few league fixtures we see the girls play at Portman Road going forward.
Yeah, bring it on. Saturday, 3 p.m. Be there if you can. If you can't, follow all the coverage from us.
I think it's important to remember as well that the club haven't upped the prices just because it's at Portman Road. So it's still £6 adults, £2 concessions. When are you going to Portman Road and paying £6 for a ticket for a league match?
Yeah.
Take advantage of it.
And still the same football as well, same entertainment. Yeah. And yeah, there should be should be goals. I'm actually going to put you both on the spot. What's your prediction? What do you reckon, Liam? Yeah, Chatham Town are struggling, but they'll be up for this though. Chatham, obviously, that an opportunity for their players to play a football league ground in front of a crowd. Obviously, I think both sets of players will be nervous because they're playing in front of maybe the most they've ever played in front of. But yeah, what do you reckon?
I think they'll still probably beat them by about 5 or 6. Chatham are down the bottom for a reason. So, and look, it will be a big day for them. Being the opposition to play in a big ground is a great opportunity for them as well. But they've struggled all season, so I can't see anything more than, I think, 5 or 6 probably for Town. If they scored 6 in the away game, then I think they can at least match that in the home game. So I'll go 6-0.
6-0. I think I did that in my boot room video. I did 6-0 because I want to see some goals. But I think, you know, it'll be a few moments. I think it'll, as I said, maybe the first 5 minutes, Matt, could be a bit nervy because it's still, Town players thinking like, wow, I plan at Portman Road. But what's your prediction?
I've been saying 7-0 to you, which does sound just one up in Liam, but genuinely, I said 7 to Graham on the Naked Footy Show on Wednesday night. I'm still slightly narked we conceded one at Chatham away because we were absolutely dominant that day, and it was just you were there, Ross. It was just a little bit of a defensive switch off, really, and then we went and scored 2 more goals at that point. So kind of made it all consequence. But I know Chatham, they lost their top goal scorer. She left and went to AFC Wimbledon last week, so they really are struggling at the moment. They are down there for a reason. They haven't won a game all season. It could be a bit nervy at the start, but I think Joe would have had that team well drilled. They will treat it the same as any other game, whether they're going out in front of 500 or 10,000 people. You know, I think once they cross that line onto the pitch, it will be game faces on. And hopefully we can sort of start strong and blow them away quite quickly. But yeah, I'm going 7-0.
Love it. Love to see it. Well, we'll bring it on, ladies and gentlemen. Can't wait for it. And yeah, if you haven't bought your tickets yet, why haven't you? Get your tickets. You know, we've got 220 people in this live chat. Get involved, ladies and gentlemen. Get involved and see you there. Well, boys, we're going to wrap up the pod shortly because we're gone over an hour and 18 minutes. But it's been a lot of great chat, boys. Love to see it. Obviously, there's a big few months now left for Town as a club as a whole. Obviously, the men's team, 8 games to go in the championship. Of course, got 2 big games over the Easter weekend next week. Of course, it's international break, boring, but obviously we have got a Town game at Portman Road. So as I said, get down there, 3 p.m. kickoff Saturday. But Liam, final notes from you. It's just going to be a big few months and Town, could they do it?
I really can't call it. I just really, really can't call it. It's going to be that tight, I think, and we could be looking at everyone basically sitting on their radios, although I don't know if people have radios anymore. Probably just get something on their mobile on the last day of the season, although Portman Road is terrible for mobile signals, so maybe radios
are. I was going to say, I might be investing in a little FM radio. I'm more likely to pick something up on that than on my phone signal in the stands.
I think we might be in for that on the last day against Huddersfield, having to listen in to what's happening elsewhere. It is going to be tough. The last month of the season, there's a lot of tough games in there. Obviously, we've got this obviously very big period where we've obviously got Southampton and Norwich back to back. Not discounting Blackburn away either to start it all off. That's going to be fairly tricky. And I'm sure Sammy Smodix will revel in trying to derail us. And then after that, obviously, our ending is pretty pretty tough. Those two away games against Coventry and Hull, and obviously now the Coventry game being moved, they're tough games. Those teams are going for the playoffs. They're not going to be very easy. So although we don't have to play any more of the Premier League sides other than Southampton, we've still got some really tricky games. But, I mean, every time we've talked about this is a tricky run, they've just come through it. They've just come through brilliantly. And let's be honest, we've only lost four games, is it, this all season?
Five
now. Yeah, I'm trying to get Cardiff.
Two of those are against Leeds.
Yeah, I'm trying to get Cardiff out of my mind because that was a long, long drive home after that. But it's amazing that only four teams have beaten us, because obviously Leeds have beaten us twice. So I will feel that McKenna will have this team absolutely chomping at the bit when they come back from their international break, and will just hit this last month massively head on and just give it their absolute all. And I'm fingers crossed, I am hoping it will be enough. But I really do not like to call it. I think it's going to go down to the wire, I think, with potentially Leicester and Leeds.
Yeah, it's going to be enjoyable though, isn't it, boys? It's going to be enjoyable. Any other business, fine notes for you, Matt? Yeah, it's going to be an exciting, like last year. Yeah, League One, we had that unbelievable run, and now we've got eight big games. A lot of games on Sky, obviously. These next two are on Sky. Of course, Southampton on Easter Monday is also going to be on Sky. But yeah, it's going to be a roller coaster once again.
I mean, just got to keep enjoying it, because I don't think Liam said at the start of this stream that nobody in their wildest dreams was expecting that we'd be sitting here third on 81 points with eight games left to go. I was quite optimistically going, 11th, that'd be fine. I'll be happy with 11th, you know, top half finish, you know, sort of consolidate, getting back into the Championship. But we've more than proved that we belong back up here. Leicester are now deep back in it. And so they've been in the news today. Again, reading something in Athletic, they're not ruling out there could be a points deduction for them this season. Probably highly unlikely, because that involves getting the Premier League and the EFL on the same page. So it's like, I could win the lottery this season, you know, but it doesn't mean I'm going to. But we can't rely on that anyway. But Leicester, obviously, on a bit of a bad run of form. You look at their last six. We had the blip against Cardiff. There's a lot of people said taking our own medicine there. But we bounced straight back with an emphatic 6-0 last weekend against Sheffield Wednesday. It feels very similar to last season, this time last year, in the sense of we're building momentum at the right time. But whatever happens, you know, we're one, two games off securing top six mathematically. Although realistically, I think it takes something awful for that to not happen now. And the top four is probably likely. You look at the gap between fourth and fifth and sixth. This has been a fantastic season off the back of a great season last season. Whatever happens, whether that's going up via the playoffs, going up automatically, glorious defeat, sort of heartbreak in the playoffs, which again, as a child of the 90s, gives me sleepless nights, because I sat through all of those playoff seasons before Barnsley in 2000. It's just been fantastic. Think where we were in 2019, this time 2019, you know. Absolutely, a lot of us had all accepted our fate of relegation long before it was confirmed. Didn't see a way back. I keep thinking I'm going to wake up and it's just going to be that day where Paul Lambert got that contract extension, and it's all been a fabulous dream. So, just what I can say to people is just enjoy it. And even when you have blips like Cardiff, just remember how fantastic it's been this season. You know, these periods don't come around very often for football fans. And just enjoy it while you can.
Yeah, well said, my friend.
I had the pleasure of doing Barnsley away last season, which was absolutely just because obviously I missed Exeter, so what a day to miss out on. But I kind of was there when promotion was pretty much sealed with that result against Barnsley. And now that the Coventry game has moved to that final week and is going to be in the midweek leading up to the final game, if that's going to be anywhere near like what Barnsley was last season, that is going to be one hell of a night in Coventry, I tell you.
Yeah, can't wait for it. Yeah, big eight games to go. I think that's a perfect way to end it, boys. Thanks so much for joining me. It's always a pleasure to have Matt Macon, Liam from Crew, joining me. If you're going to the game tomorrow, enjoy it. If not, follow coverage with us. Obviously, a big week next week as well, building up to the game at Blackburn. Potentially 5,000 town fans, almost 5,000 town fans at Blackburn, which is mad. I think Good Friday, it's on Sky, but town fans, when you get the call, you turn up, don't you? Especially for the women's team this weekend with potential 10,000 in the stadium, which is great to see. As always, big shout out to our sponsors, Manscaped. Use the code KOA to get 20% off and free delivery at checkout for all your below-the-waist
nose and ears are not below the waist. I'll have you know that on the record now.
Below the waist, not the waist, all that stuff, sort of stuff. It's been a long show, ladies and gentlemen. But as always, follow us on Kings of Anglia, follow Matt and Liam as well for all the great stuff they do. We're bringing you a game day, we're bringing you all the other content we normally would do for the men's game. But yeah, and a final shout out to Andy, who always joins us on the live shows. He's going to be at the game as well. So good to see you, Andy. Great show. Hopefully see you tomorrow at the game. So perfect way to end it. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. And a bye for now.